Welcome to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. Live every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Now here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Never promised you a rose garden? I don't know that that's true. I think I may have made that promise once or twice in my life. I may have promised somebody a rose garden. I'm Peggy Ballester Howells. Welcome to the Garden Show. I'm here with
Jordan.
And you know what? I have to introduce my button manager, at least to say hi. This is Sean. Say hi, button manager.
Good morning.
He is an excellent button manager. He knows those buttons. I think they're scared of him. I think he knows them. I think they jump up and down. As soon as he gets close, he does that. So it's been quite a week. Weather was, how would you describe the weather?
Mercurial. Doesn't know what it was a little angry
yesterday. Oh, yesterday. Well, yesterday. But there were some days this week that were like a gift from the gods.
That's true.
They were some during the week beautiful days. Yeah. Really, really gorgeous stuff happening. And of course, I'm behind. Why am I always behind?
Because you have so much to do.
I do, yeah. I have so much to do. But there is a lot of really cool stuff going on, and I'm very excited. The weather has been warm enough that I have been leaving all my veggie transplants out. Now, you have to keep an eye on the weather because I did screw up once and I lost a few tomato plants one night. But I had enough still in the greenhouse to cover. So, you know, no big loss. And we've started more and they are just thriving. Not quite ready to put them in the ground. Not safe enough to put them in the ground. You got to check the weather. If it's going to get cold, I'll have to bring them back in. But being outside, those little transplants look robust.
Yeah, they do.
Very robust.
They're taking off.
They're like the Jolly Green Giant of tomato transplants. Healthy.
Agreed.
Rugged looking, thick stemmed, upright with their leaves shining up to the sun. They look really good. They look really good. So I did get all the broccoli and cauliflower in the ground. And I think I mentioned I had planted them last week that they were in the ground, but they're looking good. They look good. Replanted the lettuce. It's coming up.
Good.
Yes,
okay.
Finally it's coming up. The spinach, I don't know. The spinach is like, would not make Popeye happy.
Oh.
I mean, it's coming up. It's coming up. And there's some. And it's growing. But not enough. I didn't get a good stand. I don't know why I didn't get a good stand. But there's probably enough to make me happy.
Yeah.
So that part's good. But the peas.
The peas.
The peas look amazing. They're about 8 inches tall now, and they look really good. They look very robust. The rain we had last night, did you get rain where you were?
Oh, my gosh. It was crazy. The lightning was, it was spooky.
It was, but it was a good rain.
Yeah, we needed it.
Yes, and my rain gauge froze.
I know.
So
that was
a
bummer.
I know. And I really like the rain gauge itself. So I have to try to get another glass tube to go into the rain gauge, but it's got to be just the right size. And I looked up online that you can buy the glass tube separately, but you would be amazed. Variations on a theme. Do you know how many different glass tubes you can buy? It's like a nightmare. You have to measure the circle that the thing has to slip
right.
in and make sure it's going to fit. And
I wonder if you could order one independently from where you got it from, like just the glass tube and not the arm.
Maybe.
You know?
That's a possibility. I can look into that. But I need it. So I don't know exactly how much rain we got last night, which is very frustrating because I had the rain gauge. I was all set. And then it froze over winter. So, but if it's any example, you know, the bumblebee truck.
Yes.
Bumblebee truck lives in my driveway. And by the way, I've decided I want to paint a bumblebee on it.
I think you should.
I think I should. So the bumblebee truck lives in my driveway. And at where I park it, it's parked next to the garage so that I can still get my car in and out of the garage. It's a great setup. But it's slightly, ever so slightly pointed downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So that when it rains, the back of the bumblebee truck fills up. And when Tommy, who very sweetly turns my truck around on Sunday morning and parks it right next to where I get out of the house and hop in the truck, said that he saw more water in the back of the bumblebee truck than he has ever seen before. So that's significant.
Yeah. I wish he took a picture.
Yeah, that would
have
been
good. Because I've seen that thing pretty full.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets so. But when he turns it around, now it's facing the opposite direction, all the water drains out.
Right.
So I couldn't see it. But anyway, it was a lot of water, which was good. Because you did a lot of planting and working on some of your jobs this mm-hmm. week, right? Yes. And, okay, so I went to the big box store. I was bad.
What did you do?
Well, you know, I'm a plantaholic. You know that.
I do.
Yes. It's a serious condition. Mm-hmm. It's a very serious condition. And I saw when I was there for an entirely other reason, but I can never go to the big box store without checking whatever they have because a lot of the big box stores, they don't necessarily take the greatest care of their products.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. But when the stuff comes in, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they get stuff that comes in that's really weird, really out there. I have two different weird arborvitaes that I've never seen anyplace else. One's called Whipcord.
That one is cool.
It is cool. It looks like the cousin it of arborvitaes. It's just, you know, so
I
weird.
Can relate.
Yes. So it's very cool. So I always like to check and see. And what they had was little tiny rhododendrons. Not small varieties, just very young, but very healthy mm-hmm. looking rhododendrons. And they were for the bargain price of $17.50, which is very inexpensive. So I have been talking for the 5 years that we've owned Tiny Farm. We haven't lived there for 5 years. I guess we've lived there for three, but about putting rhododendrons in the woods.
That is a spectacular vision. I can't wait to see that come to fruition. It's going to be magical.
So we have taken down a number of trees in the woods. Not too many, but the ones that were dead, or there was one that was leaning at a 45-degree angle. And it wasn't dead, but I was like, that's coming down. At some point, that tree's coming down, and I would rather it come down under a controlled situation. So we did have that one taken down. But with all of what we've pulled out of there, and when we first owned the property, we had a bulldozer go through and just create some paths.
Mm-hmm.
So there's places to walk, and there's a couple of spots where some of the trees that came down leave some open sky. So it's still very woodsy
right.
and very shady, but there's spots where enough light comes filtering through the trees that the witch hazel
mm-hmm.
is beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
That witch hazel is beautiful. So shade-tolerant plants like rhododendrons will do well. And the idea of having a bunch of them blooming in the woods is just so appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else grows like crazy. The wild roses and the brambles and the poison ivy and the other stuff that's growing in there it's relentless.
Yeah.
It just, you know, keeps trying to fill in every spot. I found a Solomon seal blooming. While I was cleaning everything up, I was like, don't mow that. So we found the Solomon seal, which was great. And we had planted the trout lilies, which have completely disappeared. But I continue to water them because
right.
the tubers are in the ground. So hopefully, I actually put a chair over them so nobody steps on
them. Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. So Tommy came out with the heavy-duty lawnmower. And that poor lawnmower. It just... We tortured it yesterday.
Oh.
It was making sounds that I'd like never heard a lawnmower make before. It was really kind of noises. It was like
just the little lawnmower that could.
Yeah, the little lawnmower that could. So we mowed down a whole lot of brambles and honeysuckle and roses. And I very carefully, you know, it was real windy. Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, there was a couple plastic bags blowing around in the woods. So I grabbed one and there was poison ivy growing up a tree. I had my gloves on very carefully, pulled it all off, checked around the base, found it was popping up, pulled it all out with my gloves on, shoved it in the plastic bag, and put it in the trash can. I have a big pot out there that I put little trashy things mm-hmm. in. So, and I checked. I didn't find any more poison ivy in that area because I've been working on getting the poison ivy out of there since we bought the place. Birds poop poison ivy.
Right.
And they reestablish it. The berries on poison ivy does not seem to affect birds. And they eat the berries. And then that's how poison ivy comes back into your yard.
Mm-hmm.
Bird poop. Yes. So anyway, so it was there. So we cleared it all out. And then we cleared it out. Tommy said, well, I can take it back to this log. And there was something. It looked like a tree or a really huge branch from a tree. Hmm. It was probably close to 20 feet long.
What?
And it had fallen onto a very large limb that was still attached to a tree. You could see where it had snapped. So that limb is going to have to come down. But it was a really cool looking log. It was very snake-like, very like wavy and contorted. So we rolled it out, and Tommy did it himself. He didn't want me to help him.
Oh, wow.
So he rolled it out, so we were able to roll it and get it to the perimeter of the area he had mowed. And it looks really cool.
I bet.
It looks really cool. And so all the wild stuff we're going to let grow behind the log. And the wild stuff is intense. I mean, it's really thick. You can't walk through it. It's really thick. And we're just going to let that grow to continue to camouflage the big, ugly building. And all the enormous amount of trash that they now put next to the big ugly building. So right there in that section is a wire fence that you can see right through. So just leaving all the wild stuff growing. But now we have this area that's going to be somewhat managed.
Right.
Okay. So we have this. And I went back to the big box store. I was a little disappointed because they only had one kind of rhododendron. It was called Crete, C-R-E-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a huge variety. They said to space it like 3 feet,
okay,
3 feet apart. So it's kind of on the smaller side. And I thought there was more than one kind because the buds were hot pink.
Mm.
But there were some that were open and they were pale pink. Ooh. So I thought there was more than one variety. Well, it turns out Crete starts out hot pink and as it opens, which is not unusual. A lot of the different flowers do that. So I was a little disappointed. So I bought three and I wasn't going to get any more. Because I was trying to do this on a budget, you know, and get these 1750 ones. And as I was pulling away with my cart, with my three little Cretes, with Kusa Dogwood,
oh,
my little dog in the cart with me, and he was sniffing the plants, I went past a purple one, like a dark, dark purple rhododendron, like amethyst purple.
Ooh.
And it was not 1750.
It was calling
your name. Yeah, it was definitely calling my name. And so I grabbed it. So that's a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. you know, it's and it's got buds, so we'll see. So we kind of very carefully spaced the around the log. The big rhododendron, and we did one little one to the left of it, and the two other small ones to the right of it, and there's a chair there so you can sit, and it's all cleared off, and a lot of, like, leaves, needly things, you know, kind of as, like, sort of mulchy kind mm-hmm. of stuff, and it's wood, so the ground is very rich.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's very much, you know, expression woodland soil. That's what we've got, woodland yep. soil. So that all went in yesterday, and we ran a hose from the barn through the barn door, out the back of the barn, into the woods, so that we could water.
How long is that hose?
It's significantly long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's significantly long. So so we water everything, and then it rained last night, which is great. So I'm really hoping that they do very, very well. Okay, we have a caller?
Well, I just looked it up.
while you were speaking. I think your area got an inch and a half to 2 inches of rain.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Inch and a half. That's great.
Yeah.
An inch of water is a desirable amount of water because it will go down and get most of the root system wet. Mm-hmm. 2 inches is better, especially for, you know, mature plantings. But so that was good. And that would be really good for beachy, you know, my tricolor beach, which I have watered with a hose repeatedly. That is a $350 tree, and it's in a key spot, and not taking any chances with that. So we've been really watering the bejeebies out of it, but last night's rain will be really, really good for that. So yes, but that's not the only things that we've planted. And I should give the phone number because there's all kinds of people we should be talking to. The number here is 908-448-0951, and we're going to have a little conversation with my good buddy Jack. Hey, Jack. Good morning.
Good morning, girls. How are you today?
We're good. It looks like it's going to turn into a beautiful day.
You know, I'm sitting out here right now with Marley, waiting for it to dry a little bit, and it's a beautiful day. The sun is out. We had just under 3/4 of an inch of rain here in Middlebush, which was perfect for the Christmas trees we put in last couple weeks. And it was all good. It's looking beautiful. The grass is growing nice. The trees are the crab apples are flowering beautifully. Waiting for the Rutgers dogwood to come out in the next couple weeks. You have one of those, don't you?
Yes,
down there,
I do.
Peggy?
I have a Rutgers dogwood. Yes, I do. And the, one of the things that is most spectacular at the moment is my hawthorn. I have a hawthorn that is covered in white flowers. It's like an upright snowfall. It's so beautiful. And
you know what? Blooming here, Carlisii viburnum, a fragrant viburnum.
Yes,
they are. It's the whole place smells like a. I don't know how to describe
it. Perfume factory. How's that?
Yeah, it's great. You can smell it when you're out here. Mowing. My grandson was out yesterday for the first time.
Oh, you sent a picture of your grandson in the mowing machine. He's so cute. How old is he now?
4 months yesterday.
Congratulations, Grandpa. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's great.
But Ella, the fragrance of that, those bushes are unbelievable.
Agreed.
Everybody, it's a little known plant that people should enjoy more.
You know what? I want some cuttings, Jack. Can you get me some cuttings and we could try to propagate them?
Come on over. I got tons of them.
Okay. Yes. Well, maybe we'll do that. The best time to take root cuttings from that kind of a thing is probably June. So when you can do semi-hardwood cuttings. And that as a general rule, that's good for a lot of things. When the new growth comes out, when it first comes out, like now, it's a little too tender and it'll wilt. But if you wait until it starts to get a little bit woody, and that's why it's called semi-hardwood, because it's not completely woody. You take cuttings from it at that point. So if you wouldn't mind sharing, like in June, I'll come by and take a few cuttings, because I would like to have one of those. That would be fun. So
come on over. Have all you want. I got tons of them, big ones.
Now
we cut those back 2 years ago. They were, like, very mature. They're probably 6 to 8 foot. No,
wow,
6 foot.
Wow.
That's mature for viburnum. For that variety, and this winter, well, last winter, Bernie cut them back to about 3 feet, 2 years ago, rather, and they are gorgeous-looking bushes again.
Well, I planted something else yesterday, with Tommy and I planted together yesterday, something that really tickles me, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it, and I ordered it online, and I paid a ridiculous amount of money for it, and I had my fingers crossed that it was going to come. You never know when you order online, you know what you're going to get, but it was something I'd never seen before, and had to have it, just absolutely had to have it. Are you familiar with the plant Styrax?
Yes, Styrax japonica.
Yes. Well, this was a pink Styrax japonica, which I have seen in the past.
Japanese. Is that Japanese snowbell?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a pink one. But it is a weeping pink one that's a dwarf that stays really small. Never heard of it. Yes. So it's perfect for the Garden of Ancient Ruins. And we lost a couple things over the winter in there. And so it has a perfect spot. And it won't get too big. And I'm very excited. I had a pink Styrax japonica at Blooming Acres. it was not a dwarf. It was quite large. And when that thing bloomed and the flower petals were falling off, it was like pink snow. And it just covered everything. I have a picture of one of my dogs laying under the branches, surrounded by pink petals. That was Bill, Sweet William, his name. And it's like a perfect picture, like a professional portrait, because he's just covered with all these pink petals. Anyway, I don't have room for a big one, but I found this little dwarf weeping one, and I'm really excited about it. So I've never come across. Yes, I will. When it starts to look like something, I will take a picture and send it. I'll probably put it on my blog. But it was something new. I had to have it. So anything else?
I have one other question.
Yes.
Well, yeah, one last thing, and I'll let you move on. You said your Stewardia isn't doing too good.
It's not doing great. It looks a little weird. It looks like the top third is dead, and the rest of it is alive.
You know what? You probably jinxed me, Peggy, because I looked at mine yesterday when I was out, and the top third of mine is dead.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. I don't know if it's dead or has it. It can't just not leaf out the top third. But just like you're describing, same thing with mine.
Wow. And we did we get them at the same time? Or did yours get...
I got two of them, and you picked one of them. And mine didn't make it, and yours made it. And then last year I replaced it, and this one was doing great until last year. It did great, and I kept it well watered and everything last summer. And this year, not so good so far.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I kept it well watered last year, and it did fine all last year because you kept asking me how was it doing, and I kept saying it's doing fine, and now not fine at all. So, and it wasn't a tough winter. I don't know what happened. I lost things that really surprised me that I lost because the winter was so mild, but I think we're still paying for the heat and the drought from last summer.
I believe so.
Yeah, sometimes it's a delayed reaction. You know, it takes a while for the root system to dry up, and then it kind of works its way up the plant, so it doesn't always show up. By the time it starts showing up, it's too late to fix it, unfortunately.
It's like my gray hair. By the time I got gray hair, it's too late to do anything about it. All right, girls, I will let you go. Good talking with you. I'm heading down to Reich now to visit him, and have a good weekend.
Okay, if you're going down to see Reich, I went to see him last week, and I picked up a straw from him, which his straw is so fantastic, and I got four bales, which filled up the back of my little truck. I asked him if he would do the show with me next week, and he hasn't told me. So if you could ask him, I would appreciate it.
I'll push him on that. Remember, okay. I saw you last. You was down there last
yes.
week, too, right?
Yes, and Jordan's not going to be here next week. So
every week you two look younger and younger.
Well, thank you, Jack. All right. Well, good luck. Go see Reich. Have fun. It was great to see a picture of your grandson, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Now. All right. We should give the phone number again. 908-448-0951. And there's other ways to listen to the show than just turning on 95.1. We can go to WOLDradio.com, and that way you can listen via your phone or your computer and carry it with you, which is great if you listen on your phone. If you are not that computer savvy, which not everybody is, you can do the magic phone number, which I think is very cool. And you can just dial on any phone. Doesn't have to be a cell phone. Doesn't have to be a smartphone. Can be a stupid phone. And you can just call 518-737-0158. And you can listen in your phone. If you are on a mobile phone, that almost all mobile phones have speaker phones on them, so you can just press that button, another magic button you can use. If you are using a landline, either the phone itself or the base has another magic button that you can listen to so that you don't have to carry the phone around. But I think that's a pretty cool way of listening if you have no other options. But now, the best way... Maybe not the best way, but certainly a super wonderful, fantastic alternative is you can go to the website after you've had your cup of coffee, after you've taken a shower, after you've had a really bad day and need something fun to listen to, something soothing, something that makes you feel good, because everything about gardening makes you feel good. You can go to the website and you can listen to the archives and you can listen to the shows that we've already done, and they're all on there, which is kind of awesome. So you can listen at your convenience, which is great. And I've already had several people write to me on my blog and say that they so appreciate being able to listen, you know, at other times during the day.
Right, and the archives are especially great, too, for people who may not be in the listening area. Of course, you have the magic phone number, but, you know, they're just convenient. You can listen to them at your leisure and when you might not normally otherwise be able to access the show.
And you can download them, too.
Yeah.
So they're
always
there on your PC if you want them. Like on a rainy day when you're feeling down, you want some Peggy
that.
In your life.
You didn't tell me that.
When you go to play them, it should open up like a black window in your browser. And if you click like the three dots, you can control like the playback speed or something, but you can also download it. So then you've got like a master copy on your end too. So
wow,
it's nice.
That's nice.
You could add that to your own like playlist
you
on your smartphone or something like that.
So there are lots of different ways of listening. And also, of course, you can go to my blog, which is peggygarden.com, P-E-G-I, garden.com. And there are places you can click there that'll bring you to the archives. And, of course, you can also send me questions.
Mm-hmm.
I am a bit behind on updating the blog. Been kind of very, very busy this week, but I promise to do I have so much information. That's part of the problem. I've been doing so
right.
much that I come in at night and I'm too tired to do a blog, but we will get to that. And you can they're all on there, so you can look at the older ones too. And if you sign up, then you will get notices, email notices, when the blog's been updated. So so that's all good. And of course, the last thing about the blog, which is pretty cool, is we have some pretty amazing sponsors. Now, we can't do the show without sponsors. We have to have sponsors. That's just the lay of the land. That's what we have to do. And we have some wonderful sponsors. And we need to support the sponsors in order for them to continue sponsoring. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, that sounds like how it works.
That's how it works. And sometimes, you know, when we're talking to the sponsors or about the sponsors and we give the information, you know, websites are really annoying. You know, I mean, you have to remember this, and you got to have the dash in the right space and the dot in the right space. And if you don't get the dot in the right space, you don't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy to write all that stuff down. So everything is at peggygarden.com. That's PEGI garden.com. And you can go there. And if there's any of the sponsors who you would like to support or reach out to or get more information about, you can go to peggygarden.com and click on the sponsor page, and everybody's there with all the information you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to give the phone number 908-448-0951, and we will be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's PEGIgarden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
Okay. Do you remember last week?
Yeah.
You were here last week? You were
yeah.
here. We had a guest. We don't have guests too often, but we had a guest. We had Kelly. Here.
He was wonderful,
and he's from Rest Assured Restored, and he's somebody that you can count on. He rescued Andy
right.
from a poop-filled basement, which was not really a very pleasant experience, but Andy called Kelly at Rest Assured Restored, and he was there by 7 o'clock in the morning and cleaned up the horrible, disgusting mess.
Mm-hmm.
And did a really good job and made took a lot of pressure off of Andy.
Do you want to hear? Okay, so when I was at Andy's house this past Friday, which would have been, you know, not too long after the incident, I walked into his house and I was like, oh, wow, it actually smells good in here. And I didn't realize that was the house where it had happened, because he has another house across the street that he works from. But I would have never known.
Well, that's because Kelly did such an awesome job. Exactly. Got right on top of it, didn't let it sit there and really fester. Mm-hmm. But that's not all he does. You know, they water and mold damage, new bathrooms, painting, anything that needs to be done. He can be your go-to person for things that need to be done. Everybody needs a go-to person. Mm-hmm. You need a go-to person. You can't do everything. All the things I do, I can't do everything. Can't do everything. Does anybody do everything? You can't. It's impossible. So you need a go-to person, and Kelly at Rest Assured Restored is the person. And if you mention to him that you heard about Kelly on the All New Garden Show, you'll get a 10% discount on all the services that they provide. Now, as I mentioned, you can go to peggygarden.com and get all his contact information. But if you want to call, the number is 732-781-8857. That's 732-781-8857. And his website is Rest Assured Restored, all one word, no dots, gaps, hyphens, or anything, .com. And on top of all that, I just really liked him. He was just a really nice guy.
I agree.
I like to work with people that are really nice guys. So that'll help. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll be back after this.
It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he is your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. Be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist, 917-807-3901.
Mobile One, Lube Express of Edison, a family-owned and operated business serving Central Jersey for more than a decade. From oil changes to wipers, bulbs to maintenance services, they have it covered. And all new car warranties are covered too. No sales, no quotas, no commissions, just honest, quick lube service. Even better, you can now skip the lines and stop in for your New Jersey motor vehicle inspection, as Mobile One Lube Express is now a state-certified emissions test facility. Mobile One Lube Express, 758 Route 1 North in Edison, across from ShopRite. 732-253-8100. And at Mobile One Lube Express in Edison, their philosophy is, life is complicated enough, you take care of your family and job, and they will make sure you get there. Mobile One Lube Express of Edison is a proud sponsor of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD.
You're listening to the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Howells, and I'm here with...
Jordan.
And you know who else I'm here with? I'm here with my son, TJ. Well, he's not actually here, but he's on the phone. TJ, are you there? Did we lose you?
Yeah, I think we did.
Oh.
Oh, no, TJ. And I had just found this super cool picture that you sent me of your asparagus display. It's amazing. Asparagus is big right now. It's... I harvested some out of my little patch yesterday. We had it with some leftover spare ribs, which were really good. And it was It's the purple kind, but it does turn green. Mm-hmm. TJ, of course, grows the more traditional varieties on a very large scale. But it is asparagus season. And the way asparagus grows, it's one of the few perennial vegetable crops. I mean, really, how many vegetable crops can you think of that come back?
Really, only asparagus that I know of. And maybe... Are artichokes perennial?
No, artichokes are biennial and they don't really grow here. I mean, I have attempted. There are new varieties of artichokes mm-hmm. that supposedly bear in one season, and I have grown them, and they did produce what I would call a really pitiful artichoke. So,
grown for the flowers.
The flowers. So that's why, because the artichokes were so pitiful as artichokes, mm-hmm. that I just let them bloom, mm-hmm. and they become these rather large purple sputniks of sort of thistly. I mean, they are in the thistle family.
Yeah.
But no, that's not a perennial crop either. The only other one is horseradish.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, horseradish actually can become invasive. It's so aggressive that you dig it up in the fall after a frost, and you try to dig up most of it, because if you don't dig up most of it, it'll take over.
Uh-oh.
Becomes very aggressive. But it will keep coming back. So that's kind of good, you know, that it keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. But it is, I can't really think of anything else that's perennial. But asparagus is just, it's a wonderful vegetable. And you know, I know a lot of people that don't like it. And I know some people that used to not like it and then acquired a taste for it. I personally love this stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite ways of serving it is to steam it and then take some brie cheese and cut the crust off the brie cheese and put a little bit of milk in and cook it till it's like a little bit of a sauce, and then pour that over the steamed asparagus.
That sounds great.
It's absolutely delicious and really, really easy, and I love it. But it is asparagus season, and it has a relatively short season, about 8 weeks. And you can't harvest it when it first comes up. You have to give it a chance to get established for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and then you can harvest it. In the first year, you harvest it maybe for only 2 or 3 weeks, and then the following year, you can harvest it for the full 8-week season, and then you have to let it grow.
Mm-hmm.
People often are very confused as to how asparagus grows, because it doesn't grow like anything else. You harvest it as soon as it emerges. And you know how it has that little pointy thing on the top? That's where it grows from. And if that gets knocked off, it stops growing. It doesn't grow anymore. So it grows from there, and as it gets taller and taller, then it sends out these side branches. And people may be very familiar with the houseplant, asparagus fern.
Mm-hmm.
It's a close relative of the asparagus that we eat. And that it will look like that. The asparagus that we eat, if you leave it in the ground and you do not harvest it, which eventually you have to do after harvest season's over, it will grow. It'll get maybe 4 or 5 feet tall, mm-hmm. and it will look like a gigantic asparagus fern. And that's what it's called, the ferny part. And that, not unlike many other things, just like tulips, when the flowers are done, you have to leave the foliage to replenish the bulb. You have to leave the ferny part on the asparagus to replenish the root system so that you can get asparagus next year. And that's how it works. And so it will come back. But you have to harvest it in the spring when it emerges out of the ground, when it just looks like a little stick coming up. If you wait until it starts to send out the side branches, you've waited too long.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it grows inches a day. It grows inches from the morning when you look at it and say, that's too short to cut. By dinner time, it might be long enough to cut. So you have to stay on top of it. You can't like just ignore your asparagus patch. You got to pay attention to mm-hmm. it. And it's also considered a heavy feeder. So you really do need to fertilize it at the beginning of the season. We did a really good job this year. We cleaned up the bed, cut down all the old asparagus fern that was there, and we cut all that way back, and then we weeded, you know, the weeds, whatever was there, and we dug out the cannas
a ridiculous number of canna bulbs.
They were just, they come up from seed, believe it or not. There are many different kinds of cannas, and cannas are have big banana-like leaves, and some of the newer varieties have huge flowers.
Ooh.
But the ones that we have are kind of the original one, and the flowers are quite lovely, but they're small, and they produce seed. And sometimes I find them popping up at different places in the yard. Well, they came up in the asparagus bed.
And they came up in your compost pile.
Yes, they come up in the compost pile. They do come up in the compost pile. So we dug out all the cannas that were there because we didn't want them competing with the asparagus. So we added a layer of compost on top. It kind of worked it in just lightly, fertilized, and then put wood chip mulch on top. And the bed looks really good, and the weeds are under control, and the asparagus is coming up and is really delicious. I don't like to freeze asparagus. It's not a crop that is conducive to freezing. It gets too mushy. I don't really like it like that, so I really only like it fresh. You can eat it raw.
Yeah.
You do something with shredding it, don't you?
No. Well, I was going to suggest if you wanted to keep the purple color out of your purple asparagus, maybe shave it and do it kind of like a broccoli slaw type.
Yeah, mixed in with some other things. Because you can definitely eat it raw.
Yeah.
When I'm hungry and I'm in the garden.
And it's good raw when it's fresh. It's tender. It's not anything like what you would expect.
No, it's very tender.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole fat versus skinny asparagus thing.
Right.
When you have a small patch, as I do, you really can't separate them out. You harvest the fat ones and the skinny ones at the same time so you have enough for dinner or lunch or whatever. And so what you have to do is put the fat ones in the water first. And when they're almost done, then you put the skinny ones in. And that way that they're all cooked the same way at the same time. And that makes a difference because if you don't do that, then either the skinny ones will turn to absolute mush.
Right.
Or the fat ones will be too crunchy. Mm-hmm. So you need to be aware of that. They're, commercial producers of asparagus are usually very, very careful about bunching them so that they're of a similar size.
Mm-hmm.
And that does make a difference so that you can cook them all at the same time in the same way. And that does make a difference. You know, I brought asparagus to David Letterman. Did I ever
what?
Tell you that?
Can you elaborate, please?
Well, he has been on the air for a while now, but I thought, you know, he's right in New York City. That's where they would broadcast out of New York. And I got the idea of maybe, you know, so many television shows make fun of New Jersey.
Right.
And it makes me really mad. It does. It makes me really, really mad. And, I mean, we're the Garden State. But up by New York City is not much of a garden up there. That's But that's where all the people are. So all the people are up there, and David Letterman's up there. And that's all they see is that part. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go very far away from that part to get to really beautiful parts of New Jersey. The northwest part of New Jersey, the mountains, so beautiful. It wasn't that long ago that I had to stop in the middle of the road in northwest New Jersey because the whole herd of cows was crossing the road and had to get to the cows had to get to the other side.
Of
and
course.
You stop. This is New Jersey. This isn't like, you know, Switzerland in the mountains. This is in New Jersey. And down South Jersey is much flatter, but many farms down there that are just hundreds of acres. And then we have the Pine Barrens, which is just a wonderful place to be. I love the Pine Barrens. So there's much. So when they make fun of New Jersey, I get really upset. So I thought if we could get David Letterman to say something wonderful about New Jersey, that, you know, that would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got dressed really nice, and I got a whole case, a beautiful case of asparagus that I took into New York with me, and I went to David Letterman's building, and I went in, and I had a whole letter describing what we were doing, and he never said anything on there.
Oh, my gosh.
You walked into the Ed Sullivan Theater with a crate of
yes. I just want to know, also, why were we targeting David Letterman?
Because I knew I could get to him.
Right. Okay.
You know, it was so. So I did that, and he never said anything on the air. But I got a letter from him.
Oh, you did?
And I got a T-shirt and a cap, and he said that was the best asparagus. He took it home to his chef, and he said it was the best asparagus he had ever had.
Oh my gosh.
And that is a true story, absolutely true story. And yeah. I was so sad that he didn't say anything on the air, but,
right.
But you know, at least we got some recognition for us being the Garden State. We mm-hmm. are the Garden State. So, all right, I'm going to give the phone number. It's 908-448-0951. And we have a couple open lines. And we're going to talk to Dave from Marstown as soon as we get back from this.
This is the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of 95.1 WOLD and the all-new Garden Show with me, Peggy Ballester Howells, and Jordan, and Sean, and Andy's out there. Thrivent believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like your family and giving back to the community. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website. Okay, now this is tricky here. connect.thrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. That's a mouthful. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connectthrivent.com/Amy-Nichols. Now, you can go to my website, which is a whole lot easier to remember, which is Peggy, P-E-G-I, garden.com, and you can find this contact information. But everybody needs a little direction financially. There's no doubt about it. Nobody has all of that covered. It's just a really complicated world, and we all want security. So you want to go talk to somebody who you can trust, and you can definitely talk to Amy, and she will answer your questions, and you'll feel really good mm-hmm. about talking to her. She'll make you feel really comfortable. And we'll be back after this.
Family-owned Mike's Country Market, Nursery, and Landscaping offers its customers the services and merchandise for all your gardening and lawn care needs this spring. In business since 1980, Mike's Country Market offers seeds, trees, and everything in between. They are experts in the world of landscaping services, hardscaping, as well as delivering topsoil or mulch right to your home. Shopping hungry? Order a sandwich in the award-winning attached deli. Visit the country. Mike's Country Market is located at 200 Riva Avenue, right off of Milltown Road, on the East Brunswick-Milltown border. Their number is 732-821-7144. That's Mike's Country Market, Nursery and Landscaping. 732-821-7144. Mike's Country Market is a proud founding sponsor of the all-new Garden Show on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
As lovers of gardening, we sometimes think that others are just like us, the salt of the earth, always amenable to helping our fellow members of the human family. Regrettably, there will always be those who prey on the naivete of homeowners who think that nothing bad will ever happen in their neighborhood. Those days are over, and our friends at Elite Surveillance are here to make sure that if anyone ever tries to mess with you, they will regret it. Call 732-702-2434 to receive a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment, your home, your property, and your beautiful garden. Andrew and his Elite Surveillance crew are the folks to trust when it comes to top-notch professional installation of a surveillance system that will keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day.
Call Elite Surveillance at 732-702-2434 or visit EliteSurveillanceNJ.com to learn more. And be sure to mention the All New Garden Show to receive a 10% discount on your same-day installation.
Now, back to more of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. We're going to go right over to Morristown and say good morning to Dave. How are you doing today, Dave?
Good morning, Peggy. I'm doing well. Thank you.
So what can I do for you? What can we do for you?
Well, first I want to say this. I'm from New Jersey, so don't get real mad.
Okay.
Okay. We got that straight. Peggy, I have an area in my backyard that one side of it is 3 rows deep of forsythias.
Okay.
And to the left of that, I have a space now because I took down a Scotch pine tree. Okay. Which took up about 10 feet as far as the front of this area. Now, can I transplant? Is it too late for me to transplant some of those forsythias to the space from where the Scotch pine was removed?
It would not be my favorite time, but we are talking about forsythias as opposed to a lot of other things that are a lot trickier. If you were to transplant it, now, if you decided that you were going to go for it, what you would have to do is prune it back significantly, and do it carefully. You know, selective pruning, and take some of the old wood out all the way at the base and shape it, and then you could probably move it. It would probably make it because they're so tough. And better now that it's finished blooming than while it's in bloom, because it's always its most fragile while it's in bloom. Would have been better if you had done it early. But the flip side of that is at least you got to enjoy the flowers. And you could, the weather, I would do it as soon as possible. I would do it, you know, either take your phone out with you and listen or wait until 12 o'clock and then do it. But as really soon, because, you know, you don't want it to be trying to get established when the weather gets really hot. So you can move it and get as much of a big root ball as possible. A couple of things I would suggest is dig your holes first. Get your holes completely prepared and ready to go. And that way prune your forsythia before you go to move it. And prune it and shape it and get it down. You can cut it back as much as 50%, and cut it way back. And again, really important to take some of the oldest growth out. And then that way, when it's already pruned, the hole's already dug, and when you move it, it'll only be above ground for a very short period of time. Now, I'm going to say today would be a really good day to do it. Not only because you want to get it done as soon as possible, but because I'm assuming you got some of that rain last night. Is that correct?
Quite a bit, yes.
Okay, good. That means the plant was able to take up some of that water, so it's not going to be under water stress. You know, if you try to move something that's dry and you expose its roots, well, it's going to just dry up that much quicker. But now it's nice and turgid and it's taken the water up, and so now it would be good. Of course, you want to make sure you water it in thoroughly immediately as soon as you move it, but the fact that it rained last night is in your favor, so that, you know, it's not going to be being moved while it's already dry. So that's all good, but the sooner the better if you're going to try to do this. And forsythias are tough. You can, you know, I've moved them at various times. But the thing that makes me concerned for yours is that it appears from what you said that these are very established forsythias.
Yes, they sure are.
Yeah, they're not going to be easy to move. Digging out a forsythia root ball from an established forsythia is a real challenge. So,
well, how big of a root ball do I want? And what I'm really saying is, as the roots go out, is it if I were to make it more than a 2-foot ball, which would make it a foot in radius, and then cut off whatever roots would extend beyond that, would that be a problem?
I think that's about the minimum that you want to go for an established plant.
A foot.
Yeah, a foot radius.
Each way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to get that out. I'm going to make a suggestion, Dave. Forsythia plants, usually you can get them for $19.99 in a pot. And they're not expensive. And transplanting something from a pot, you know, where all the roots are intact, you can do that now, no problem. Very little risk at all at this point, probably almost ideal time to be doing something like that. And it's going to be a lot less work and a bigger chance of success for a relatively small financial investment. So
I don't have to lift up a 100-pound ball.
That's correct. If it were me, that's what I would do. That's what I would do if it were me. There's, you know, I'm not shy about tackling big projects and things that are difficult, but I do try to focus on not doing it the hardest way just because it's the hardest way, if you follow me. Sometimes the easiest way is the better way. And if that's the case, I'd go for it. So if it were me, that's what I would do. And again, I wouldn't shy away from it. If I needed to get that forsythia out of there and it was a problem in the spot that it was in, I would tackle moving it. But if you don't need to get that out of there, go buy some $19.99 ones and stick them in the ground. You'll be done in about 2 hours and you'll have everything in the ground and you'll be completely done and your back won't hurt. I promise.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have fun. Okay. Next, we have Joe from Manalapan, but Joe, you're just going to have to hang in there for a minute, and we will be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's P-E-G-I garden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
WPRB HD3, Princeton.